You are listening to Know You're Crazy. My name is Susan Dene. We all have crazy. What separates us is how we choose to deal with it. I'm going to be delivering engaging and actionable tools to own your crazy, treat your crazy, and turn it into your own superpower. I hope that you walk away from this show feeling the power and strength within you. And never forget to enjoy your journey because you are worth it. Hey everyone, welcome to the Know You're Crazy show. My name is Susan Dene, and you are listening to Emotional Recovery in the Raw today. Perhaps you're listening to Sobriety Recovery in the Raw today. It has been a week, folks. It has been a week in the life of this sober woman, not only in my life, but I get inspired when I get feedback from women in recovery and men in recovery. This particular last week, it was women in recovery who are experiencing things in sobriety that can feel overwhelming, that can feel frustrating and lonely. It can feel lonely. I had the honor of somebody having a spiritual transformation in front of me this weekend when she discovered some hard truths about her behavior. And at the core of that behavior was all around loneliness and being afraid of not being a part of. For those sober folks who are listening to this podcast today, to this recording today, or watching this YouTube video, whatever it is, for those sober folks, I think you know what I'm talking today. It's when us alcoholics, us addicts in recovery, you know, we drank, we used, we did everything to change how we felt. And how challenging is it for most people, addict or no addict, alcoholic, non-alcoholic, to feel comfortable in their own skin in social gatherings, in family gatherings? How many things test us and test our emotions in these scenarios? We drink because it changes how we feel. How many of us before we got sober would get lit before we engaged in a social gathering? I know I did. You know, the party didn't start. If the party was going to start 7 o'clock somewhere, I was drinking probably at about 4 just to take the edge off. And then I was smoking a little something just to take the edge off, because the desperate internal feeling of loneliness ran deep. I want to fit in. I'm overly concerned with what you think of me. Why does nobody talk to me? Why does this feel odd? How do I create conversation? You know, I'm at an age in my life where I get to say at 22 years clean and sober that I got sober before the real use of cell phones. Now, if somebody's lonely or needing to isolate and wants to ease that sense of discomfort that can come in a social gathering, and I've done this myself, how easy it is to pick up the cell phone and bug out on the cell phone like you've got an important email you need to read, or you've got a text message you need to follow up on, or maybe you're going to look business. It's an escape. Living comfortably in our own skin in sobriety, it's a thing and it comes in layers. Today's show, I'm focusing on loneliness. I got to receive a message this week from a woman who had been traveling with a lot of individuals professionally who wanted to get the drink on before they even got on the plane. And this sober woman had to sit through that, not only just being around it, which once we get some time under our belt, we get to go into gatherings where, you know, the obsession of drinking or the obsession of using does not affect us anymore. We're kind of separate from that. But what does affect us is other people's behaviors. Drive us crazy, because when you are someone, and this could be for anybody listening to this, when you are someone who has recovered from an emotional hurtful state based on anything in your life, maybe it was a problem that ran deep enough that you did some work. Maybe you went to therapy, maybe you began to meditate, but there was a behavioral change on your side that awakened you to a new perspective on how to look at life. And once you downloaded that new perspective, once it resonated so deeply with you that it affected you to the point of changing your behavior, well, now you're looking at life with a new pair of glasses. And when we start looking at life with a new pair of glasses, but yet the people we've been hanging around, family, a lot of times it's family, they aren't wearing the same pair of glasses. Their glasses are still, they need a new prescription. They're all fogged over. Stuff's not going right. And yet your shiny perspective, you start to realize, like, oh, I so want to swear right now. You start to realize, like, these mothers are still hurting. And it can take a lot of restraint of tongue. It can take a lot of, again, growth to remove the judgment that other people are having their experience and not to become bogged down in another person's behavior, especially for us recovered alcoholics or recovered drug addicts, when the behavior in another individual is because of drinking or using. That can send us crazy as much as it would a sober person, a non-alcoholic, non-addict, living with an alcoholic or an addict. They have been in the disease and the effect of those behaviors for so long that they too are crazy to some extent. But we as recovered individuals in sobriety, we too can become so affected. So what is the whole thing with loneliness in sobriety? You know, they say you don't have to change much in sobriety, just everything. And yet saying that and doing it are two completely different action steps that we have to take. What happens when the marketing event that you're supposed to show up to and sell at, the people there realize that you don't drink, and suddenly you find out you're not invited to go to the after dinner party? I have been living that story for about 5 years now. Every single event, every single conference, there seems to be a little something with being the one who's not drinking and participating. Yet these are events, networking events, that are supposed to bring all people involved. Yet when you're sober and you haven't had a drink in a while, you feel the sting. You feel when you're left out. You know the family ain't calling you to come over for a reason. You know people are kind of looking at you a little different. The trick for us is to realize that, but not allow it to cause resentment within us. And so today, I'm just going to be talking a little bit about loneliness, sobriety, behaviors, both with those of us in sobriety and the behaviors of others that may be impacting our life, because loneliness in sobriety is real. It can feel isolating, and we sometimes have a hard time figuring out how to recover from just the loneliness. We drank to fit in. We drank to fit in. A good drink, a good drug, uploads all kinds of courage, all kinds of needed courage to become social with everybody else. That's what it does. It allows me to be superwoman when I'm feeling like I want to crawl under the, you know, covers and never come out of my bedroom. That's what drinking and using can do for somebody like me. It's a social lubricant. It removed the fear of the social awkwardness. Suddenly, I'm free from worrying about what everybody in the room thinks of me. The thought of what I'm wearing and how it's being portrayed leaves me. The fear of all of that leaves me. The worry behind what to exactly say to so-and-so and the overly analyzing and obsessing about what other people think, it's gone when we take the drink. And so when we decide to put the drink or the drug down and all that stuff is present, in sobriety, we get to learn how to walk through that. Now, I've heard people who don't understand addicts and alcoholics, and then I will say understand addicts and alcoholics, they wonder why we continue, for those of us who go to recovery meetings or those of us who continue to do therapy or continue to live a life with a principal view of sobriety and why it is so important to nurture our sobriety, to caretake the sobriety, they wonder why that is. They wonder why. Why do you still go to meetings after all these years? They can't comprehend what it is that we are getting from the community that we surround ourselves with. Some folks get sober and they go to their church. The churches have great sobriety programs today. And people sometimes struggle with understanding, why do you keep going back? And yet, as we walk in sobriety through these issues, see, we no longer, when we get sober and we put that drink and drug down, we have lost a lot of ability to deny things. Sorry, but you guys hear me say this all the time. Awareness is blissful and a bitch all at the same time. You know, the ability and the skill to deny. I'm talking, there are some pretty skillful denied people out there. You know, I'm related to some of them. And I'm just saying that skill set of denial, and I will say it's a skill set. There has been many years dedicated to denying, to looking the other way, to pushing down in the corner that feeling of whatever, right? It takes a while to uproot that, to look at each reason that we were in denial, to look at the emotions underlying the avoidance, the neediness, all these things that we get to work out in sobriety. You know, some of the things that we will battle when we decide that we're going to make a change and we're all of a sudden going to get social are things, imaginary conversations, thinking that we don't belong with a group or nobody wants to talk to us. And then we make up imaginary scenarios in our mind as far as why that is and almost convincing ourselves that that is the truth. On today's show, I'm going to be talking about symptoms of loneliness. I'm going to be talking about different character flaws that can be associated with loneliness. What is going on within you that's causing people for this feeling to not be removed, whether that's from others not participating with you or you just being unable to recover from the lonely depth, the despair inside of you. What's going on with you? I'm going to give feedback on that today. And then at the close of the show, I'm going to just be talking about more solutions, hope. There is hope, but what we can do differently in sobriety in order to make a change, to uproot the loneliness, to feel part of when we go to these social gatherings, and also to really fall into acceptance of who we are, where we are, and the hurdles that we have in sobriety. You're not imagining stuff. Sometimes it's real. Sometimes you're not being invited for that exact reason. And you got to ask yourself, what does it matter anyway, even if that is their reason? All right, so hold tight. I'm going to come back from break and I am going to be diving in. So if you're a sober person and you suffer from loneliness or just your frustration of behaviors of others, stay tuned because more shall be revealed when I come back.
You've been listening, but are you watching? Tune in to your favorite shows on the Transformation Talk Radio Facebook page. We stream live video podcasts every day, and we love to hear from you. Leave comments and questions for the host to address live, on the air, and get to know the faces behind the voices you love. Just go to Facebook and search for Transformation Talk Radio.
Yeah, yippee-skippy to that, baby.
It is time to get inspired to take action in your life. Tune in to Know You're Crazy.
Crazy.
With me, Susan Danae. We are identifying, understanding, and treating our crazy one episode at a time. We all have crazy in our lives. The thing that sets us apart is how we deal with it. And I've got you covered. Enjoy your journey. You are worth it. Visit SusanDanae.com. That's DENEE.com.
Hey, everybody. Oh, my goodness. We have got talk radio for all of us.
Really, thank you for blazing the trail for women in talk radio and just being such an inspiration to me and so many other people. What you're doing is so awesome. And, you know, without people like you there to, like, really step out of the box and go for it, I don't know if someone like me would have ever ended up here, but I'm so happy to be here. And, yeah, I just want to thank you for everything you're doing. You're one of my major inspirations.
Hey everyone, welcome back to the Know Your Crazy Show. My name is Susan Dene, and you are listening to Emotional Recovery in the Raw. Specifically, I'm talking about loneliness in sobriety today. This last week has been filled with conversations of women in recovery who have faced some loneliness, whether that loneliness was traveling with a group of individuals who wanted to get their drink on even before they got on the plane. Imagine how that trip went for the rest of the trip at the hotel and coming home. Oh my goodness. Another woman feeling isolated from the family. They just don't understand. I don't want anything to do with them. How can I get away from them? And then a third woman who discovered and had a huge spiritual transformation this weekend as we worked one-on-one, and she was able to discover some things about how her loneliness is showing up for her. And being able to spot it and have relief from it was really, I'd probably say out of everything, that was the most inspiring for me this week. Now, this topic of loneliness and sobriety, you know, I'm 22 years clean and around 7 years clean. I had a transformation in my own recovery. I had made a decision to go back to the basics in sobriety. I was, you know, living life, managing well, and realizing though, however, that the credit in my life, I was no longer giving to a higher power. Nothing was aligning. I had a lot of self-will involved. And for this sober woman, when that happens in sobriety, my will can be kind of toxic, which means that I'm trying to control the outcome of things. I'm still getting wrapped up in what's going to happen on the aftermath of decisions I'm making. And when I start trying to control the show, I'm also trying to control you. I'm wondering what you're doing, when you're doing it, and how you're doing it. And if I can affect the outcome of that, I'm going to feel better. As you may already know, that's a dangerous, slippery place to be for anybody because we're all human. I am not God. I am not going to be able to read your mind. You are going to have the experience that you have, and your decisions are going to be based on those life experiences. For me to assume at any time that I have power over the outcome of your life decisions is when I can get pretty slippery myself. At 7 years sober, I started to realize that I had fallen into that pattern, unbeknownst to me. Life got good. The drink and the drug go away. Life gets good. Things start turning around. Relationships start to rehabilitate. We become accountable to people. People can depend on us again. We're not flaky anymore. We're not emotionally having outbursts with anger or blame or victim. We start to be responsible. And we start to know some stuff. And then for me, what was happening was I was starting to take too much credit, yet I was looking around my life and not feeling happy anymore. That pink cloud that we talk about in recovery had floated away. I didn't have a bad life, but I had a life that was not satisfying, and I had relationships in my life that were not satisfying. So I went back to basics in recovery. And as a result of that, I began to sponsor women in AA. That's what I started to do. And that number of women quadrupled over those following years. Once I set my intention, once I began to change it up, I had women constantly at my house. We'd meet at 6 a.m. in the morning. I still meet women at 7 a.m. in the morning. I am a little hour late now, but I absolutely focus and dedicated many, many years of my life to that, in addition to a full-time job and raising children and having a marriage. And it wasn't easy, but it's one of the things that really showed me what true service with another individual is all about. So when I talk about coaching or I talk about those things, sometimes it feels a little bit cheesy to me, because when you've gone to the depths with somebody in recovery and you've seen them have the courage to lay out their vulnerabilities and truly experience with you and trust you with their most sensitive items, it's a spiritual moment, not only for the person, for me listening, but hopefully for them, because they have so much courage to dig in. So as I was working with these women over these years, the common theme was, I'm having a hard time fitting in. I just feel weird. You know, I go to these places, nobody really talks to me. It's after the meeting and everybody's kind of off having their conversations and I feel isolated. I really have a hard time connecting. You know, I don't feel like calling people. It just seems odd to me. I remember in grade school when you were learning to have friends or you had to go to an event. I mean, as adults, we experience the same thing. It's no different. But this was the message that many sober women were telling me. And it was my own experience. I would show up to meetings late and I'd leave early. I was putting food on the table. I had kids I was raising. I didn't have time for connection with people Ultimately, loneliness is the opposite of the desire of connection, connection with individuals, connection with relationships. So story after story, I started hearing this, and I had decided to put together a potluck once a month at my house for women in sobriety. I still host this potluck. It's been going on for quite a while now, well over 10 years, I think. They always have to help me remember the date. But anyway, the point I'm making is, when women first walk into this social gathering once a month and they've never been there before, I give a little spiel. And the spiel I give them is, if you feel uncomfortable in your own skin, you're wanting to bug out on your cell phone, you're already making excuses to leave early, you have no idea what to say to people, you're wondering why they're not talking to you, you feel insecure, you want to run, you want to hide, you're asking yourself, why the hell did I even show up? You're wondering if you should have even came. You're right where you're supposed to be. Because battling loneliness and overcoming our knee-jerk reaction to run requires courage. Sometimes it just requires a discipline through the desperation, but it ain't easy. If you are somebody who is suffering from loneliness and it's challenging for you to overcome that, especially in sobriety, hang in there. Hang in there and do something different. And that is the reason why I wanted to bring this show today, because being a sober woman, it still gets socially awkward for me. I have social networking events that I go to today that I am still not invited to the after party. I still can feel on outside of the circle. I can talk all day on a camera. I'm more comfortable right here with you right now, staring at a webcam and doing my thing, than I am at a social networking event. Sometimes the two don't compute together. I can write all day long and share intimately emotions and all these things, right? But you put me in a social setting, I too can get awkward. Nature of the beast. Loneliness. The difference between somebody in sobriety when we get lonely and maybe somebody who doesn't suffer from addiction and alcohol is, if I choose to pick up a drink or a drug today to overcome that insecurity, to overcome that lack of connection, my life could be lost. That's the difference between us and somebody else. And so if you are sitting there today and loneliness is continuing to show up in your sobriety and you're trying to figure out how can this be removed, or I'm not talking about this enough, or I'm an older individual who is single in sobriety and it's tough to meet people, and I don't even know what to do with relationships anymore because in my past, the relationships were like this and I don't want that no more. But I don't know how to communicate today in the relationships, or I don't know how to express my worthiness to bring in quality relationships in my life. This show's for you. Many shows on my YouTube channel are for you because these are the topics I like to talk about. Us people in sobriety, the only difference between maybe us and somebody who has a rock bottom in another area is we just know that we are not allowed to cover up our feelings of fear, our feelings of desperation, our feelings of isolation with a drink or a drug. That is our core motivator. That is the thing that keeps me dedicated to growing constantly. It's not success. It's not ambition. It's not so I can go make $2 or $3 or $4 million. I would love to, by the way, but I'm just saying at the end of the day, the quality of my life is completely catapulted forward because I'm a recovered alcoholic and I refuse to go backwards. So I am not going to allow loneliness to take me out. I don't know about you, but I ain't gonna do it. So internal loneliness, being alone doesn't essentially make you lonely. It is the perception of being alone that makes you lonely. We can be standing in a room full of people and still feel lonely. Whether it's recovery or not, some people, talk about social anxiety. That's what this is. Social anxiety is loneliness. If you look online or you listen to podcasts or you see stuff, you're hearing loneliness is an epidemic or pandemic or whatever, right? That's going on right now. What has changed in our society? I mean, for alcoholics and drug addicts, if you've been talking this recovery for a while like I have, you get it, right? Like you get our perspective. But what has changed over the last 5 years specifically? Oh, and with the pandemic, by the way, COVID. What has changed? We all went inside our house. And then we had to learn how the hell to come back out. Somebody said, a friend of mine said, oh my God, the airport was so packed. There were more people than I've ever seen before. People are starting to come back out, but we all went into our cocoons And so some of us who suffer with social anxiety, it's been a little trepidatious coming back out of our cocoons, learning how to socialize again. You know, that loneliness factor has now caused us to be paralyzed with inaction. And so learning how to get back in the game, and for a recovered alcoholic or a recovered drug addict, getting out of the cocoon is one of the most important things you can do today. One of the most important things you can do. You know, I suffered from loneliness. I can remember since I was young, feeling like I was on the outside of the circle, feeling like I never fit in, didn't have the right clothes. You know, I am Irish and I am white as they come. I am freckly. And trust me, all growing up, I wanted to be the tan, good looking one. You know, now they got products to make me tan, but you know where I'm going with this? So I always had like this feeling of insecurity. I wasn't enough. I wasn't pretty enough. I wasn't tan enough. It was always not enough. And that loneliness and that isolation was definitely an internal feeling the whole time it was going on. And it like, oh, and puberty, I don't even want to go back through my teen years. God help you if you're in your teen years. But that whole feeling of not enough and can't be enough and being in a room full of people and feeling like this is the end of my world and I can't come out of my shell. It's a horrible feeling. I was at a networking event within the last year, and there was a gentleman who was kind of volunteering in the same realm as me. And he had shared at some point, I can't remember what sparked it, but he had shared that it was really challenging for him to be social with people. He was an IT guy. He stayed behind closed doors. He wasn't an alcoholic. He wasn't a drug addict, but he was just sharing of how challenging it was. And what I got to witness in him as the networking event carried on over those next few days was him participating. And he was doing the exact thing that we learn in recovery. And so if you're in recovery and you're feeling lonely and you're wondering, what can I do differently today? Find a volunteer position. The rooms of recovery are fantastic opportunities to volunteer, to be of service. You know, whether that means you're going to make coffee, whether that means you're going to greet people as they come in the meeting. If you're a churchgoer, find a place to volunteer. Be accountable to a time and a place where people need your service to show up, because even when you don't want to show up, you will show up, and it will force you into conversations with other individuals. Believe it or not, people aren't thinking about you that much. I know we think they are, but they really aren't. You know, we're not that important as we think. The funny line, I'm not much, but I'm all I think about, right? Well, sometimes we're not much, but we think everybody else is thinking about us all the time. They're not. They're not. It's all an internal perception that we are having. And so one of the best things to do is to volunteer and get out of your own skin, to volunteer and go be of service, to make an event or something not about you. This gentleman did that. And by the end of that event, I was seeing him participate in dance offs and conversation. He had a smile ear to ear. I thought it was so fantastic to see that he was able to overcome that uncomfortableness, because I knew it wasn't easy. I knew it wasn't easy. You know, sometimes loneliness can be all about experiencing loneliness because you think nobody else is going to understand what you're going through. Situational loneliness. Situational loneliness. You know, I've been active with the community of recovery for many years. And when my dad died of COVID and I was in Nebraska by myself, and then at that point, when COVID was at its height, there were no real in-person meetings, especially in that town. So everything was by Zoom. Thank God we had Zoom meetings. But after a while, going through something that was traumatic for me, you know, watching somebody die, having birth, you know, having doctors calling me with all kinds of bad news. I mean, he ended up transitioning, watching my mom deteriorate, watching her grief, watching my sister struggle. I mean, sometimes we go through hard stuff in life and we really think nobody understands. You know, I was being bombarded with people's political opinions on what they thought about COVID, and did people really die of COVID, or did they have other, you know, what do I want, other conditions that aided in the COVID, you know, and for me not to become resentful and righteous around what my opinions were around that as I watched my father die on a ventilator, you know, that felt lonely. It felt really isolating. It didn't feel fair. And loneliness, situational loneliness, can really get us in a spot if we allow the situation to take us to a point of despair. You know, if you had it as bad as I do, you'd understand why I'm lonely. if you went through the divorce that I went through, you'd understand why I'm lonely. If you had the kids that I had, you understand why I'm going to isolate. If you lost a parent to COVID like I did, you'd understand why I feel lonely. I mean, that's the story that we can begin to tell ourselves. And situational loneliness is also a dangerous place to be because it really forces us as sober individuals into a place of self-pity. And self-pity is the root, just the root of ick. When we paralyze ourselves to the point of inaction because we're feeling so sorry for ourselves. And ultimately what's happened is that loneliness has flipped its head. And now we're in isolation. So many novice recovery suffer from isolation. And that's the word, you know, we isolate, we isolate, we isolate. Some of us, like me, I love being alone. I love being alone. Like, I don't really suffer from a pit of loneliness anymore. When I was in Nebraska, that was probably the first time I had felt like nobody really understood. And I had a couple jabs of desperate loneliness a few times during that. But for the most part, I'm not a lonely person. I'm happy being alone, but I can be so content being alone that I won't branch out and be part of connection with other people. And so I too have to watch that. So it can work from both angles as far as what loneliness does to you. You know, if you're a lonely person, I'm going to ask you, one, how long has it been going on? How long has that feeling been present for you? Number two, when is the last time you've made a decision, a concrete decision, to do something about it? Not in a, I'm going to cure it all, but just a baby step, just a baby step. Maybe that decision is you're going to get a volunteer position. Maybe that decision is I'm going to reach out and call other people I know who are sober. Maybe that decision is I'm going to go join a spiritual group. Maybe I need to go to church. I've been thinking about going to church and I don't go to church. Maybe that decision is I've always had an opinion about recovery and groups and AA and NA and CA and MA and all of the OAs, all the A's. But maybe it's time because I'm feeling so lonely and so isolated in my sobriety that maybe I try one out. Maybe I get with some like-minded individuals who might know some stuff in this arena that I haven't quite got to yet. Maybe I'll listen to somebody who's got something that I want. Maybe there's hope for this loneliness after all. So how long has the loneliness been going on for you? And number two, when is the last time you did something differently to help with the loneliness? Now, overcoming loneliness does require quite a bit of courage. It's like having to do the exact opposite of what we want to do in social situations. It's learning how to communicate again in a social situation. It's dropping the angst of what other people think of us, which is really a big one on why we isolate and why we become lonely. That's a big one. And so there's a lot of uncovering and there's different layers to that onion as far as how do I get to the core of this loneliness to uproot it and to find a solution to it. The other type of loneliness that can happen in sobriety is developmental loneliness. Developmental loneliness. I have really experienced this one. Earlier, I was talking about you get a new pair of glasses, a new perspective. You start seeing the world in a new perspective. You do some internal growth and you realize, wow, I've grown myself, but my crew, family, a lot of times, sometimes friends, haven't quite got that same growth spurt going on. If you look at some of my business stuff, my business growth spurt your life, because we go through growth spurts. And when we go through a growth spurt, we pop up a few feet, right? Or we become aware and we change. We let go of some old personality traits that are no longer serving us. And that can feel lonely when we look around and we realize that the other people around us aren't having that experience. This is why if you're somebody in sobriety and you've yet to jump into a community, or you've been in a community of sobriety in the past and now you've kind of rested a little bit and you've been away from the group for a while and you're thinking it's too late, or you're feeling like something's missing in your life, or you're feeling like, boy, I don't laugh enough, I don't really go out anymore, that might be a call to change it up for you. But when we develop emotionally and mentally, sometimes that gets lonely for us, because what can happen is if we haven't sought out people to be in conversation with about some of the growth, some of the perspectives, or people who share a like mind, people who are like-minded, people who now understand and challenge you to keep growing. If we haven't done that, then we can start to feel lonely, because we're either one, going to be the one giving advice all the time, but we ourselves aren't being fed. So we are constantly given feedback. That was a conversation I had with someone this week where she realized, what did she say? I have a thing with wanting to be in everything with everyone. And her growth right now is appreciating the fact that she don't need to give her feedback. And I've talked a lot on this show about that. But when we're the ones who maybe go first and do some work in our community or in our friends or in our family, and we realize that we get some stuff that other people are still kind of, they haven't had that experience yet, that can be lonely. That can be lonely. It might leave us with a desire for more emotional intimacy with somebody who can relate to where we are at. We may go through gaps of feeling like we don't have any friends. I've been through that one a lot, especially with service work and being the one that people came to know how to get sober and stay sober. I was in that one a lot. I had to build a community around me. I had to lean on other people. I had to pay for stuff. Like, I had to pay for coaches that related to me. I had to pay for therapists who would listen to me. I had to pay for new conferences that I could go to and network. Hell, I got another one coming up in September. Not really because I was like, oh, I just can't wait to go. But I know for me, I have got to constantly and consistently push myself to new levels. I mean, I'm a high performance coach, folks, and I'm a sober woman. I believe life is meant to experience all things, not just a couple things. I want new experiences. And when this inside job is not experiencing new and is not being challenged enough, I'm not that fun to live with, quite frankly. You can ask my husband, maybe. So developmental loneliness, it can also happen because, you know, when we develop and we start getting that loneliness, like we're more than, or, you know, it also can be a little bit of an ego deal. We're thinking we know a little bit more and maybe we don't know as much as we think. That can also cause us not to live in a state of humility. When we have a need for individualism, when this need is not balanced with developmental relationship need, we end up with a loss of meaning in our life, which in turn leads to emptiness and loneliness. So when we have a need for individualism, when the need is not balanced with developmental relationship need, we end up with a loss of meaning in our life, which in turn leads to emptiness and loneliness. It can be a very lonely place to go. So how do we relationship build in sobriety? This is the topic that I'm going to talk about when we come back from break. How do we build relationships in sobriety? What are some tips and tricks that we can do to heal our loneliness? And where do we need to be accountable for how our crazy is operating in this particular area, in our sobriety, in our life? So if that interests you, stick around. I will be back shortly. And if you are somebody who is wanting to change it up and something I am saying today is inspiring to you, feel free to reach out to me on my website at susandanae.com. My email is on there. Would be more than happy to take you through a complimentary session to see if there's something I can do to help you make a head start on the loneliness game. All right, be back shortly. We'll be right back.
You've been listening. But are you watching? Tune in to your favorite shows on the Transformation Talk Radio Facebook page. We stream live video podcasts every day, and we love to hear from you. Leave comments and questions for the host to address live, on the air, and get to know the faces behind the voices you love. Just go to Facebook and search for Transformation Talk Radio.
Yeah, yippee-skippy to that, baby.
It is time to get inspired to take action in your life. Tune in to Know You're Crazy.
Crazy.
With me, Susan Danae. We are identifying, understanding, and treating our crazy one episode at a time. We all have crazy in our lives. The thing that sets us apart is how we deal with it. And I've got you covered. Enjoy your journey. You are worth it. Visit SusanDanae.com. That's DENEE.com.
Hey, everybody. Oh, my goodness. We have got talk radio for all of us.
Really, thank you for blazing the trail for women in talk radio and just being such an inspiration to me and so many other people. What you're doing is so awesome. And, you know, without people like you there to, like, really step out of the box and go for it, I don't know if someone like me would have ever ended up here, but I'm so happy to be here. And, yeah, I just want to thank you for everything you're doing. You're one of my major inspirations.
Hey folks, welcome back to the Know You're Crazy show. My name is Susan Danae, and you are listening to Emotional Recovery in the Raw. Specifically today, I am talking about recovery from loneliness in sobriety. How do we overcome this? What are the symptoms of loneliness? If you've been joining me for the first 45 minutes of the show, then you've heard me share about what can cause the loneliness, what it feels like when we're lonely, and some tips and some different questions to ask yourself. You know, how long has this loneliness been going on? Is this something that I've been tolerating for a while now in sobriety, and it's time to do something about it? And is there one step I can take to start chipping away at the loneliness? Now, I once helped a woman get to the bottom of how her loneliness was really showing up in her character defect of neediness. And it was such a wonderful thing to witness when she understood it, because she took power back. She took her power back. She started to understand that this loneliness was somewhat of a shield to keep her from becoming emotionally intimate with individuals in her life. You know, we will, as addicts and alcoholics, we will find different reasons to not be accountable to our behaviors. That's the truth. We can be stubborn. We are selfish and self-centered. It is all about us. Half of us, when we come in, are probably suffering from narcissism. I use that term very loosely. I heard somebody the other day, a therapist who I respect on social media, say that those mental health terms are being used too loosely, so shouldn't be running off the mouth about them, but I'm saying symptoms kind of look similar from what I've researched, but that is what we are capable of. We are pieces of work, folks, and we don't like to be accountable to our behaviors. We don't like to be called out. We sometimes like to, you know, be, I don't know, victims. You know, oh, I'm just so lonely. Nobody will hang out with me. You know, oh, I don't have a choice. I don't know why. I just, you know. And we will, and if that's not the behavior that's masking or keeping us from being accountable, then it'll be another behavior. It'll be righteousness. These are character things, folks. Righteousness, how much we can get up on our righteous horse about the way things should be and the way things should have been said. And if people would only do, I mean, there are different behaviors that we as alcoholics and addicts carry with us, and they get to be worked out one by one in sobriety. Sometimes there is a huge displacement of perception that happens, and we get a big download of spiritual experience, and it's a beautiful thing. For most of us, it happens one thing at a time, but we have behaviors that are not good. They are not good. I'm just going to say it. Yes, I love you. Yes, I hope that everything works out for you. Yes, I know you're a loving human being, all that good stuff. But look, your ism, your addict, your alcoholic in you can scream super loud. And so I like to be very blunt with my feedback on this topic. Because if you are complaining about being lonely, I want to know for you, where are you being accountable to that? Where are you being accountable to your loneliness? What are you doing to change it up? For example, this may not be what you think. This may not be about, oh, go join a, you know, painting class and talk to people. Yeah. Honestly, my coaching might suggest that to somebody who might not be as emotionally disturbed as us alcoholics and addicts can be at time. All right. Just going to throw it out there. There's a reason why I'm going back to school to get my degree in psychology, because I want to be able to talk both worlds. But I will tell you that us alcoholics and drug addicts, from my experience and with working over hundreds of women in this category for well over a decade now, we're a hot mess. We are an emotional hot mess when we want to. When we are in our ism, when our addict is running the show, we are a hot mess. And we have to learn to be accountable to our behaviors. And it's not as simple as going and joining a class and painting with other people. All right. Why is a service position good in recovery and meetings? Because you're among people who think like you. They will hold you accountable if you don't show up to do your service position. You know, they're going to be calling you and bugging you. Where you at? What you doing? They're going to work on you. That's the reason why recovery meetings can be so powerful for some of us. Or they're going to be honest with you and say, how you doing today? And when you look at them and say, fine, they're going to be like, really? They're going to challenge the emotional side of things for you. And as we learn to become more vulnerable and upfront with who we are in sobriety and recovery, that loneliness starts to dissipate. But we have to be accountable to our crazy. If you have been whining and complaining about being lonely for a while, where is it in the emotional deep work? And I will say deep, because a transformation is needed to get rid of that for you. A transformation is needed. Okay, this is outside the scope of depression and anxiety disorders and personality disorders and all of that. I'm just going to set that down. If that's you, hopefully you're taking your medication, because if you are taking your medication, you can still have a deep, profound emotional transformation by doing the work. And the work is being completely honest with somebody in your life about how your crazy is running the show, and being open and willing to listen to suggestions and feedback to help you get better in that arena. That is what is required for people to have personal transformations. It is not telling somebody what you think they want to hear. That is not it. It is not closing the door, thinking you know everything, getting all your education one-on-one with a YouTube video, and never branching out face-to-face with somebody and becoming emotionally intimate with somebody to tell them what's going on with you. And I'm talking, not only therapy can be helpful and beneficial in this, but a therapist will talk to you like a therapist, which, don't get me wrong, I'm in therapy my whole life, practically love therapy. But there's a different connection when you talk with somebody in recovery who can talk that same language with you. So when you are seeking a battle in sobriety or addiction recovery, and you are looking to connect, and you are looking to put down that bastard of loneliness, it requires you to be completely honest with another individual, someone who is going to understand, someone who's going to be loving and compassionate with you when needed, but also somebody who's going to help you be accountable to your crazy. They're not accountable to your crazy. You are accountable to your crazy. And so you find that one person, maybe two, but you find that one where you can make that emotional, intimate connection with, and you talk with them routinely. And you lean on them, and you stop making all the decisions of your own. You spot check that self-will of yours, because that self-will is exactly what will take us alcoholics and drug addicts back out. That's exactly what will do it. We have to recognize the tendency in recovery to be loners, to be self-reliant. My goodness, we are talented individuals in recovery, and we can take that to extremes also. And we will become loners. And we will convince ourselves that that's just ambition. And we will say we are overly confident. And yet we will be not connecting. We will be isolated. and there will be a deep sense of loneliness involved in that. Ask yourself, if I am being overly concerned with my loneliness, what suggestions up to this point in my sobriety, what suggestions have I not taken? What have I been digging my heels in about? Recently, someone very close to me, we were talking about, you know, in the rooms of recovery, we get what's called a sponsor. And this person was in between, not really in between sponsors, but sometimes sponsors just become unavailable. Look, sponsors aren't paid, right? We're not. So sometimes sponsors have life happen and they become unavailable. So the question was, have you got a new sponsor yet? Because this person and I both understand how important it is to have a sounding board, having somebody to bounce our crazy off of. And that was the one thing that that person had become a little stale on, was seeking a new sponsor in long-term sobriety with the same vigor that we may seek one when we're 30 days sober, if you follow me on that. Because sometimes over time, we become a little dull with our urgency. And when we become dull with our urgency and sobriety, that can be a risky place to be, because it's just a month, 2 months, maybe year away of becoming bored, becoming isolated again, of not being happy. And I will use the word happy in sobriety, because that's what we get sober for. We don't get sober to be miserable. We get sober for a better life. So ask yourself, if I've been over concerned with my loneliness, what suggestions have I not taken in sobriety? When that 7 year story I told you, when I got sober at seven, or I was sober at 7 years, but when I decided to change up my sobriety at that point in my life, there were all kinds of suggestions I hadn't taken back then. All kinds. I had never taken a service position in a meeting, 7 years. I had never picked what we call in sobriety a home group, 7 years. I had showed up at the same group. I showed up late and I left early. I was managing kids. I was busy. So there were suggestions that I had never taken. I had helped a few people in recovery, and then I went back to just helping me. And so there were all kinds of suggestions that I hadn't taken, that I made a deal with myself that I was going to change so I could change up my sobriety. Here's the thing. Nothing in your life today, when we are sober, should be bad enough to cause you to drink again. And if loneliness has been putting you in a place of depressed feeling day after day after day, and a drink or a drug is starting to sound good, that is a red flag. Please reach out to somebody if that is what your experience has been recently, to ask somebody in recovery to just listen and tell them where you're at. We get it in recovery. We understand. But nothing is worth taking a drink or a drug today for a sober, recovered alcoholic or drug addict. Sometimes we have to have that talk with ourselves about, what are we willing to change up again? What are we willing to do? Once we become aware of the depth of our loneliness, we have to be able to have that talk with ourselves about, what am I willing to do about it? And so what I've been sharing with you is different things to do about it. You know, if you're a person in recovery and you've never been to a meeting, they work. They work for me. You know, they work for many, many, many people. There are Zoom meetings today. So many social networks on Zoom. I don't advocate just Zoom. I advocate the best of both worlds, in person and Zoom. But Zoom can be a game changer for folks who are used to isolating alone in their room. You know, here's the thing. There's importance behind the need to connect. Last year, I had a guy on my show who specializes in this exact topic, loneliness. And I think they had a message, a 7 second methods or something. But he was in my YouTube shows last year. And so I read something last year about the need to connect, because he was just saying, you know, his story, their family had dealt with some loneliness, and that's what had made him so passionate to actually put together a whole organization that helps people with this. It says, social isolation and loneliness are as harmful to your health as smoking 15 cigarettes a day, and are twice as harmful to physical and mental health as obesity. Loneliness is linked to adverse health consequences such as depression, sleep disturbances, cognitive decline, and impaired immunity. And I'm going to add sobriety. As mentioned, social isolation is a major risk factor for suicide. The feeling of not belonging or not feeling connected to other people can be detrimentally powerful. Being alone with little interaction with others wears on your mental well-being. It can lead to spending too much time in your own head, ruminating over past situations, or worrying about what's going on in the world around you. That, my friends, is the truth around loneliness, whether you are in recovery or not. And remember the importance of those of us in sobriety. The reason why this is so important to kick the hell out of is because for us to pick up and drink over loneliness or to use a drug over loneliness means that we could lose our life and we could lose everything that we've built up. So if that head hits that pillow sober tonight, you've done something good. If this show resonated with you and you want to do something about that loneliness and you really are willing to do some things, I mean, you can reach out to me on my website if you'd like. There are meetings everywhere. There are Zoom meetings if it's uncomfortable for you to go in person. But your sobriety doesn't need to be at risk for this. We overcome everything in sobriety, one day at a time, one character defect at a time, and we get through it together. So that is it for today, guys. Hopefully you have a fantastic evening. I will be back next week. Have a blessed one. Bye.
You have been listening to Know You're Crazy.
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 And my name is Susan Denae. We are identifying, understanding, and treating your crazy one episode at a time. Tune in to TransformationTalkRadio.com. To connect with me or Growth Spurt Your Life, please visit SusanDenae.com. That's Susan Denae, DENEE.com.
Views expressed on this program are those of the host, guests, and callers, and do not necessarily reflect the views of the station, its management, or advertisers.